have a seat. Or actually, before we sit down, let's just pray real quick over the word. Let God use me according to his will and bless us this word in Jesus' name into our hearts, that it changes us as we hear his wonderful word, that it'll bless everything that we do. Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for the guidance. We thank you for the instructions that you give us through your wonderful and magnificent word. There's nothing else in this world we need but your love and your will in our hearts and our souls. Change us in the name of Jesus. Bless those that are watching online, Almighty God. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your presence. We worship you and only you because you are the worthy God of all creation. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can sit. Please have a seat in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. What a nice reminder up here. We got the calendar for the fast. I hope everybody's doing well. I'll tell you, it's hard to stay out of a negative attitude when you're on a fast. And thank God that he's given us instructions in the word and how we're supposed to conduct ourselves, not in just a fast, but also in the world and how we're supposed to treat others as we want to be treated as well. So if we can turn to the word in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 29. Hallelujah. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. God bless. Okay. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. This is actually the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus was giving unto the multitude. And basically what I'm doing is just, there's so much to be done. I'm sure there's plenty of studies out there about, you know, our attitudes and what we should be doing and what the end result should be. And I'm just going to jump all the way to the last one, and that is, you know, what it's supposed to, the effect it was supposed to have. So in verse 13, I'll start there, chapter 7, Matthew. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. There's so much to be said there in this world nowadays. That's what they want you to believe out there in the world right now, that good is, or bad is good and good is evil. It's so backwards right now. And so we definitely have to turn to the word that gives us the truth. And there's so much truth in that verse there, that if we, you know, take our eyes off of the world and put it back into the word, Jesus is telling, you know, the multitude and telling us now this day, is that you've got to realize that there is no way that bad can be good. And so, you know, they want you to think that love is for everybody and every, like, marriage is for certain type of people. And I'll tell you, I won't go into that right now, but God bless and bless those who sin against God. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Hallelujah. Wonderful is his word. It's so impactful. I mean, I could only imagine, you know, how simple it was back in those days. There wasn't so much technology. There wasn't that much information. There wasn't, you know, dictionaries out there teaching these people how to read and write and understand. But that was the work of the scribes. And so if we get to understand that Jesus was more intelligent than them, that had to blow them away, you know. And it's so, and again, like I said, these verses are so impactful. There's so much on the vine here that Jesus has allowed us to hear from him, to have us understand that there are great things that we need to do to show him that we love him, that we don't have all the knowledge, we don't have all the authority, but through his Holy Spirit that lives in us, that abides in us, when we receive his wonderful Spirit, it opens up the knowledge that we need to know from this word, from his wonderful love that he gave his Son so we could be free from the bondage of this forsaken world. Hallelujah. I thank God that he didn't leave us to our own demise. I remember the days back when I was living in the world, how I thought I knew a lot and I knew everything. It was so far from the truth because I didn't know the consequences of certain things, certain feelings, and being out of God's will. That was the one thing that I needed to learn the most, what the will of God is. And so I had to have a huge adjustment with my attitude. I've always, and during this fast too, it brings me back to flesh. I get angry easier now because I'm hungry. I need an adjustment. Understanding that this fast is adjusting me to the spiritual realm, to what God is asking from me, from my life, what I have to change, from my attitude. And a lot of, and please don't just go by this chapter. Go all the way to the beginning when he started the Sermon on the Mount, which starts in chapter 5. Take it home. Read all of it. It talks about death. It talks about murder. It talks about sin. It talks about being hateful. It talks about just so many different attitudes that we have. In our mental state, we have to understand that we are very vulnerable to things that happen in the world and to people that tell us certain things, and it affects us. And so we are of this flesh. We are of this world. We are of this nature. And in this nature, we fall. We sin. And we think about certain people in our lives. Our bosses sometimes say things. Even our family members have comments. And it changes us. It makes us feel a certain way. And it makes us foolish because we react to that. And so what this helps us to understand is to stay in His will. I remember hearing, and sometimes you got to hear it from another brother. And there was a pastor, he said it clearly. We went to a WINS conference, and Brother Mayo, he said, the worst thing you can ever find yourself in is being out of the will of God. And I was like, I've never heard that before. And I started wondering, you know, am I in His will? Am I ready to go home and my Father tell me, good and faithful servant? And I started thinking more and more about where I was at and how I was feeling and how my attitude needed to be adjusted. I find out more and more nowadays, because when you become loyal and you become a son of the Father, you're adopted into the family. You get to understand that there is rules, that there are commandments. These attitudes, these verses show you that there are consequences to your attitude. And Jesus was speaking on the mountain, letting people know that there's a right way and a wrong way to react, and that the adjustment is up to us. It's up to me to say no. I'm not in their shoes. I don't know what they're going through. I don't understand how they feel and why they're saying what they're saying. But in these verses, it teaches us that if we understand to be loving, kind, treat them as you treat, if you would want to be treated, as you would want to be treated, you understand that that there is an actual verse for everything that you're going through or every emotion that you're going through. That's what the Beatitudes are all about, and adjusting our attitude now that we're going through this fast. It's an understanding that God is there. God is willing to hold your hand. If your feelings are hurt or their feelings are hurt, be a support line to them. Help them understand that you're there for them, because God is there for you. Ask them if they need prayer. Maybe you can help them out. Maybe there's a testimony they need to hear. Maybe there's a reason why you're in their presence. God uses us for that reason. He's adjusted our feelings and our emotions. We're not perfect by any means. Our purpose in this world is totally spiritual. Once we get to that understanding that we are there for those that are lost, those that are struggling, those that need help, those that need prayer, those that need Jesus, those that need to be saved, baptized, redeemed, hallelujah. If we have a clear understanding of our purpose in these people's lives, in the sinners' lives, not everybody is accepting. I think about Stephen when he was stoned. He was doing God's work. That boldness got him stoned, but still, Right now is not the time to hold back. Right now is to, it's time to exceed and excel in God's word and let God receive all the glory. He's worthy of all the glory. He's done so much for us. He's done so much for me. And to understand, in verse 24, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, Jesus was speaking, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Now, I think about that, and I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I'll be clear as day right now. I've failed writing an essay because they asked for specifics. And to put knowledge and information on a piece of paper, they give you a certain amount of time. And I could never do it. I've always failed at that. I never had enough time. An hour wasn't enough for me to write down 500 words. Now, God bless you if you've been able to do that. God is good. But I've never felt as a wise man. But I tell you, when I start talking about Jesus, when I start pressing about the word of God, I start talking about my testimony to sinners in the world, God moves on me. He blesses my words. He blesses me. He gives me information. He gives me the word. And I know there's a verse in the Bible that talks about don't worry about what to say, but he's going to be there at that time. That's the wisest I get when I'm in his will. I love it. And that's why we have to build our house upon the rock, his word, his understanding, his truth, his life, his light, his life. It's so wonderful what he does. It's so loving, inspiring, true. Hallelujah. Gotta let his will be done. Let his will be done. I'll tell you, in verse 25, it talks about troubles. In verse 26, it talks about the fools, or 26. And it says in verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. I don't want my house to fall down. I don't need to be a foolish man because being in this world has made me very foolish. And I thank God that he pulled me out of the mire, helped me to understand his word, built my house on a rock, knowing that he's going to be there regardless of my situation or my ideas or my thoughts. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful God we serve. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 8, verse 21, the word reads, and this is actually, the next verse is the one that I did a sermon a while, a mini sermon. But in Luke chapter 8, verse 21, and he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brother are these which hear the word of God and do it. What better way of explaining what his will is? He was speaking out of a wonderful understanding that it had to do not that he was rebuking his mother, his brother, or anything like that. It had to do with a spiritual consciousness that he had towards those who he calls his brothers, sisters, mothers. That everybody is our brothers and our sisters, his mother. And God knows exactly the context that he was using to express this this idea of doing what the Word of God tells us to do, following the commandments, and of course, these Beatitudes. But I'll tell you, changing attitude during a fast, trying not to be upset when you're fighting against this flesh, spirits, people around you, they see what you're doing. They know what's happening. We have to get in that spiritual realm where we're doing it. And we're doing it for God, not for man, not for nobody else. But of course, this revival that's coming, we have to understand that we have to do it for God and that we have to do it for change. We have to do it for family. We have to do it for those brothers, sisters that are lost in the world, that backslid, those sinners in the world. Do it for them. Change and adjust our attitude to what God wants us to do, not what we want to do. We can always go into a cave and hide ourselves. We can always separate ourselves during a fast. But what do we learn along the way when we're fighting against this flesh anyways? Let the Lord bless us. Let him strengthen us with his word. Let his anointing, his Holy Spirit fill us. We should act like we're saved. We should shine in this world like a bright light. Give those people a feeling. I opened a door today and I know it was a spiritual thing. The guy was surprised that I left the door open. I was holding it for him. The look on his face, it let me know that God is in control and I'm in the will of the Father. And that made me so happy. Knowing that the Father is, he's omnipresent, so he's everywhere. And you can feel just his enlightenment, his spirit, the angels singing in so glorious moments. I'm not boosting myself up by any means. But it was his wisdom that told me, hold the door. And not only one person, but two people. He showed me the difference between the attitudes. Hallelujah, Jesus. One of the guys didn't even give me a look, but the second guy just stopped right there in the entry. He says, thank you so very much, and walked in. God is illustrating to us now. He's showing us examples. He's in control. He's the master. He has the plan. He has salvation for many out there. But there's only a few that want to accept it. It's a wonderful thing to know that God's in control and that we just need to be in his will. Hallelujah. I did a mini sermon a while back. It was on this verse, Mark chapter 3, verse 35. And I had testified about how I had let my children go to my grandmother's house during the summer. And I thought it was a break for me. But in actuality, my children were young enough. And my dad was going to a church, a Pentecostal church. And my mom was teaching my children what Jesus was there for and what they needed. And praise God, God's working in the family. Praise God that he allowed those seeds to grow. The truth is a great blessing unto those children in the world. I thank God how he worked in their lives. And it's a blessing to know that having adjusting my attitude, that it wasn't just a break for me, but it was a learning process for my children. And they learned a lot. So God is in their hearts, I know that. But in Mark chapter 3, verse 35, for whosoever shall do the will of God, and I knew it was the will of God for them to go to my parents' house, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. The Sermon on the Mount wasn't just about feeding the thousands and thousands, but it was to spiritually prepare many for the walk and to hear what God had in store for them and what God has in store for us. What a wonderful view God gives us through His Word, through His knowledge, through His Son, through salvation, through the baptism, through the resurrection, through the blessings, through the strength of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we can fight through anything if we stay in His will. We can overcome anything that happens in this world if Jesus is in our heart, if His will takes over our will, and if we adjust our attitude to accept His wonderful word, His wonderful will. You know, Jonah ran from the will of God. If we can understand what the Bible says about most of these prophets, most of these stories about Samson marrying into the people that he was supposed to destroy. There's just so many ways that God shows us in the Word how we should be in His will always. But even if we fail, there's an opportunity to repent, to turn to Him and say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. I know I did wrong. My attitude was in the wrong place. Please show me, adjust my heart. Show me the way that I need to act so I don't do it again. It's a rotating door. If we keep going around and around trying to change the same thing and making it try to work for us, there's a lot of people in the world that accepts one way of doing things, and it's not the way the Word tells us to be saved, to be baptized in Jesus' name. It's so confusing to them to know that God is there for them. If they just adjust the Word to God's will, it needs to be His will. We can't go to Him unless we are in His will. We have to ask that God forgive us our sins, but on top of that, we have to ask God to forgive those who sin against us. I remember a while back, I couldn't even start my mission without God forgiving me. And then God asked me to forgive my dad because I had grudges against my dad. I couldn't get into the will of God unless I asked God to forgive me, or asked my father to forgive me, my natural dad. And I thank God that He gave me that mission. He gave me that commandment. He said, you have to ask for forgiveness, and you have to forgive your dad. And I'm like, well, my dad doesn't know that I have this grudge. He says, but I do. God knew it, that I had this heart inside of me, and I had built my house on sand, and there was water crashing on it, and every time I was trying to ask God to do something in my life, it wasn't getting done for a huge reason. It's because I wouldn't forgive my dad. But I thank God that He came to me and He told me I needed to adjust some things in my life. And that was one of the major things. And I thank God that He spoke to me and let me know. And my dad came. He helped me move. He was helping me move. He lives in Mississippi, but something brought him down this way. And I'm like, that's God. That's God's will. That I had an opportunity to speak to my dad and ask for His forgiveness for the way I have felt against him. And I thank God for that. That's the mysteries of God. Those are the things that we don't see. And if we can adjust our hearts to accept Him, to believe in Him and trust in Him and hear His voice when He speaks to us, what a great change it would make in our lives. Hallelujah. To be in His will. Last thing I want to do is be out of His will, in Jesus' name. So I was thinking, you know, what could possibly be his will? So you adjust, your attitudes changed, you think about what God's will is, and of course his will is, you know, salvation, coming to him, going to those that he brings into your life, testifying, knowing that he is true and he is a loving God, knowing that his word is true, the dynamics of his wonderful word, the doctrine, what leads to him, share that with those in the world, those that need him, those that are lost and don't understand why it hurts so much in their lives. But I want to close in this verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, if we can stand. Like I said, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, it could be extended. It could be a lot longer than what I've come to you with tonight. But God pressed it on me about this will and about what was going on during the day. And I'm pretty sure that we could fill our nights with some more reading of the Word and find out exactly where our attitude should be. And so that should be what our take home is tonight. What do I need to adjust my attitude? It's always an ongoing job to adjust, to make those changes in adjusting our attitude. I was thinking to change the title and say adjusted, but that is a job that's done. But this is a continual thing that we need to do, and that is adjusting. Because to be adjusted, that'd be perfection. And I don't know anyone who's perfect yet, I haven't met. There's always something that needs to be changed or perfected, and God is working in all of us. During a fast, that's what we're laying down, that which isn't perfect. So if we can make those adjustments in our life and get our attitudes right with Jesus, allow him to do the torque, the just adjusting, and find us in our imperfections. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Hallelujah. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. What a beautiful will it is to know the perfection. I'm sure there's so many people in the world that hurt, that say things, take for granted what you do for them and what they do for you. But to understand what edifies the men of the church, edifies the sisters, is knowing that fear is not of God. This is a safe place. This is the sanctuary of God. He dwells in this place. I ask if we can find it in our hearts to love one another as Jesus loves us, to change our points of views, our attitudes, to know he is so willing to forgive us, how much more so we should forgive those who sin against us and they don't even know it, may say certain things. I love you, brothers and sisters. The altar is open for those who are willing to lay down any strife against your brothers, against your sisters.